We'll have to use this mic on the pulpit, Larry. I checked it earlier and it was working fine, and now it's not. Anyhow, I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" King Duncan writes that a 14-foot bronze crucifix was stolen from Calvary Cemetery in Little Rock, Arkansas, some time back. For more than 50 years, that crucifix stood at the entrance to the cemetery, and now it was gone. Thieves cut it off at its base and likely hauled it away in a pickup truck. The cross had been donated to the cemetery in 1930 by the late Catholic Bishop John M. Morris. And at the time, it was valued at around $10,000. Today, it would be worth perhaps at least $50,000. After it was stolen, it was likely cut up into small pieces and sold as scrap metal for about 50 cents a pound. Police said that the 900-pound cross probably brought only about $450. Duncan said, obviously, the thieves didn't know the value of that cross. I guess, he said, if you don't understand the significance of what happened on Calvary 2,000 years ago, crosses do come cheap. Well, Calvary's cross did not come cheap, not cheap at all. And that comes through loud and clear in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Now, I would point out to you that 1 Corinthians, that here in this book, we have the earliest recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament. Scholars tell us that this letter predates the Gospel of Mark, which is the earliest gospel written. Now, Paul is here reminding the Corinthians of the meaning of the Lord's Supper. He takes them back to that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room. He tells them how it all began, what its original purpose was. And he tells them that what he is passing on to them, he has received from the Lord. That is, he received it from those who were in the Lord before him. Paul wants the Corinthians to understand that the Lord's Supper had its origins in the historical Jesus, not in something he has thought up all by himself. And so he begins, "The Lord," he writes. The word is kurios. It means master, owner, possessor. It is often a title of honor and majesty used in addressing God himself in the English version of the Old Testament. The word is used to translate the divine names of Yahweh and Adonai. And so it is a word, I think, that refers to the divinity of Jesus that in Him. God is present with men. Paul writes, the Lord Jesus. Jesus means Savior, one who comes to rescue, who comes to redeem. He is the one spoken of by the prophets of old, the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus on the night. Have you ever considered how much evil takes place under the cover of night? That men do in the darkness that which they would not do in the light of day, as though no one would know and no one would see. I imagine that it was at night that King David fell away from God. At night he saw Bathsheba. At night he desired her. At night he committed adultery. At night he had her husband placed at the very forefront of battle that he might be killed. It was at night. And no one would know. But God knew. And God sent his prophet Nathan to confront David, saying, you are the man who's done this evil. You are the man. You. What David did in secret, in the dark, was brought to light. It will always be that will. Do what you will under the cover of night. But by and by, your sin will find you out. On the night he was betrayed. What an ugly word that is, betrayed. In the English, it means disloyal, unfaithful. In the Greek, it is paradidomi, and it means to give over, to hand over, to deliver up, to abandon. Only a friend can betray you. You don't expect an enemy to keep his word, to be faithful, to stand by you, to remain loyal. You don't expect an enemy to do those things. But a friend you do. Nothing cuts deeper, I think, than the betrayal of a friend. And Judas was a friend, trusted enough to look after the money. We don't know why Judas betrayed Jesus. There's been a lot of speculation about that. We don't know why he did it. We just know he did. That's hard to grasp, to take in, that one could be in the company of Jesus for 3 years. Hear his words, witness his deeds, to be in his presence, experience his love and compassion, and yet betray him. I wonder if that happens today. If people still give him up, abandon him, betray him today. Raised up in the church, in a Christian home. So many years spent in the company of Jesus and yet betray him. To live it as though they had never met him, never knew him. Is that possible? Does that happen today? What do you think? How is it with you this morning? The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, food for the body that symbolized food for the soul. I am the living bread, said Jesus, that came down from heaven, and if anyone eats this bread, He will live forever. And I would say to you that no matter what you fill your life with, no amount of success or possessions or pleasure will ever fill the hunger that's deep in your soul. Only Jesus can do that. He took bread. And when he had given thanks, this is the table blessing that every Jew pronounced as he gave thanks to God for the food he was about to eat. When he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread. A reminder that his body would be broken on the cross. And then he said, this is for you. The bread, yes. But more importantly, this body will be broken for you. Do this, eat this bread, and remember me. Remember what I have done for you. In the same way, Paul tells us, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Carol Oatsell tells of being in worship one Sunday in the United Church of Christ in Middletown, Ohio. They were having communion that Sunday. And she said that suddenly she realized that they were serving real wine instead of the customary grape juice. And so she leaned over to her little son and warned him in a whisper, this is the real thing. And the little boy's eyes got wide and he said, blood? Make no mistake about it. The crucifixion of Jesus was a bloody affair from beginning to end. This is no myth, no fairy tale, no make-believe. This was the real thing. Jesus called it a new covenant in my blood, that is, through my blood. At the price of my life, at the cost of my life. A new relationship between man and God is now possible. And then he adds, remember this. Whenever you drink this cup, remember this sacrifice. And remember that it brings you into a new eternal relationship with the living God. And notice, this is the second time that Jesus asked them to remember. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus asked them to remember him, he didn't ask them to remember his miracles or his Sermon on the Mount or whatever he had to say about heaven? And when Jesus asked them to remember, it was in his birthday he wanted them to commemorate. Perhaps he knew what men would do with his birthday. He asked them to remember that his body was broken and that his life's blood was shed, that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In the words of that hymn, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me and you, even for the whole world. The Apostle Paul doesn't mention this. But in John's gospel, we are told that when Jesus broke the loaf of bread, that he dipped a piece of it in the wine and then he offered it to Judas. Have you ever wondered why he did that? An article in Daily Guidepost explains that during the time of Christ, when two people had been at odds, one of them could offer to bury the hatchet by dipping a morsel of bread into wine and giving it to the other person. And if the other person dipped the morsel in the wine and then handed it back, it meant that he accepted the offer. And when Jesus handed the morsel to Judas that evening, he was actually offering a way for them to be reconciled. He was offering Judas a way out. And I can imagine that their eyes locked across the table. As Jesus waited for Judas to respond. But when Judas took the bread, he did not dip it in the wine and give it back to Jesus. And Jesus knew exactly what that meant. And so he says to Judas, "What you must do, then do it quickly." And he did. And so it is for us this morning. You see, around this table, Jesus is offering us a way out, a way of forgiveness, of reconciliation, a new beginning. If only we will accept it. And as he has done so many times before, he waits for your response. The hymn of invitation this morning is number 275, "I Surrender All." And I invite you to come this morning to accept Christ as your Savior, to do that publicly, to come and unite with His church, to come and recommit your life to Him as we stand and as we sing.